The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and today we are looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 32, and answering a question about condemnation. Is this verse teaching that, theoretically, salvation could be forfeited? What is going on in this context? Stay tuned. In the next few minutes, we will talk about it. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad you're with us today. You can know more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. One thing we would love is that you would subscribe to our daily blogs. You'll find them on our website, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. We have a question here from Joshua today, and he's asking about 1 Corinthians 11:32. I'll go ahead and read the verses first.
Okay.
But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And Joshua asks, is this passage teaching that forfeiting salvation is theoretically possible, but because of God's discipline towards his children, it won't happen? Is that why some died, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11:30? Was it to prevent them from being condemned and forfeiting their salvation? It just doesn't make sense to him, and he'd appreciate an answer.
Yeah, okay, so this is a really good question, and I took a few minutes, and you took a few minutes, and we looked at various commentaries, and we found most of them were vague as to what the condemnation in verse 32 was. Pretty much all of them recognized that the word judgment is all through this passage. In verse 29, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats or drinks judgment to himself. Judgment, that's krima. And this is talking about the Lord's Supper, and he's saying if someone has a flippant attitude toward the Lord's Supper, like some of the Corinthians did, So they were drinking to the point of getting drunk, and they were eating and leaving other people out, he says—
They were coming to the Lord's Supper with a bad attitude. They weren't there to focus on Jesus and worship him. They were there to fill their stomachs and to have a good time, but, you know, not focusing on the Lord.
Right. This really wasn't the Lord's Supper for them. Mm. This was their supper. And so verse 30, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The word sleep refers to the death of a believer. So many of them had died as a result of getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and many of them were weak and sick. And then he says, for if we should judge ourselves. Now, this is a word, it's diakrino. And then he says, we would not be judged. And this is the word krino, which means judgment. And then verse 32 starts with, but when we are judged, this is krino again. He says, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned. Well, this is also another form of krino. This is kata krino. Now, we looked at various commentaries, and some of them suggested that kata krino is stronger and that this refers to eternal condemnation. And it's coming back to Josh's question. Well, there's two ways to understand this, Joshua. One would be that kata krino merely refers to judgment in this life. And it's saying, look, the world, because it is opposed to God and God's program, is experiencing condemnation or judgment in this life. And they're experiencing calamity as a result of rebelling against the Lord. On the other hand, if it did refer to eternal condemnation, you'd have to hold the view that something like this, God disciplines his own children, and the people he doesn't discipline are the people who aren't his children. Therefore, the very fact that he disciplines us shows we're his children. But the problem with that view, in my opinion, is if you look at the English or the Greek, it says that he chastens us that we may not be condemned with the world. In other words, it's not chastening us and that shows we're believers. It's saying if we didn't have the chastening, we would be condemned with the world, which is what Joshua was asking about. So I think the condemnation here is really judgment. In fact, you probably could translate this that we would not be judged with the world. All through this passage, it's about judgment. Verse 29, krima, judgment. End of verse 29, judging correctly, diakrino. Verse 31, diakrino again, if we judge correctly, and then that we would not be judged, krino again. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. That's child training. And then that we may not be condemned with the world. Again, this is katakrino. And then you get krima again in verse 34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. That when you come together to eat, wait for one another, lest you come together for judgment. And that's krima again. You're coming together, ace krima, for judgment.
So the condemnation here is the results of the same results as the judgment he's talking about earlier in the passage.
I think it is. When he talks about, because of this, some of you are weak and sick and some have died, that's the same kind of judgment the world experiences. If you want to say it's worse, then what you would argue is it's more prevalent. In other words, we're not seeing widespread death of believers at the Lord's Supper. It did happen in Corinth, but they learned from it. You know, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they lied, and as a result, they dropped dead, and it says fear fell on the whole church. We don't see a lot of that either because the people learn from it. The world doesn't really learn, and so the world is involved in rebelling against God, and they're dying prematurely and experiencing lots of calamity. So, yeah, I would say that most likely that we might not be condemned with the world means that we might not be judged with the world.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how, gesseminary.org.
So, yeah, I would say that most likely that we might not be condemned with the world means that we might not be judged with the world.
So this condemnation is not eternal condemnation. It's what the world is experiencing through sinful lifestyle. It's premature death, sickness as a result of sin.
Yeah, and you brought out a good point. What in the context indicates we're talking about eternal destiny? Is there anything in this context that suggests that he's talking about being sent to the lake of fire? And by the way, world here in verse 32, we might be condemned with the world, is cosmos. And the word world or cosmos sometimes is used to refer to mankind, all of mankind. For God so loved the cosmos, the world, that's all of mankind. But sometimes cosmos refers to the world system that's in rebellion against God, that's in opposition to God. That's the point here. This isn't even saying that all unbelievers are being judged right now. Because there are unbelievers who are very moral, right?
Correct.
And so those unbelievers are not really opposed to God. They're simply self-righteous, or they're people from other religions that are seeking to be nice, good people. And so I would not argue that the condemnation of the world here refers to every single person on earth that's an unbeliever. I think it's those who are opposed to God and opposed to his plan. And those are the people who are experiencing judgment in this life.
They may not be experiencing the effects of sin here and now, but they also don't have everlasting life because they've never believed in Jesus for that.
You're talking about the ones who are moral?
Yeah, moral, yeah.
Yeah, the ones who are moral, they do reap. Of course, we all reap the consequences of sin. The wage of sin is death. But they're not reaping it to the degree that those who are opposed to God are. I think of someone like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He's called a devout man. He was certainly experiencing God's blessings, even as an unbeliever, because his prayers and alms ascended to God, and he was one that was actually, to some degree, pleasing to God because he was not following the world system. And there are other examples. Lydia in Acts 16, she was a seller of purple, and she was coming to the place of prayer. She was evidently also a God-fearing Gentile who was pleasing God to some degree.
But yet, neither of those had everlasting life until, I guess in Cornelius' case, Peter came to him and told him the message of everlasting life, to believe in Jesus.
Exactly. But yet he was not being condemned with the world in the sense of He was not being judged with the world because he was not aligned with the world system.
Yeah.
People who are opposed to God may be involved in alcoholism, drug abuse. They may be involved in sexual sins, right? Sex outside of marriage. Well, all of those things bring consequences with it. In the case of sexual relations outside of marriage, there are lots of sexually transmitted diseases that people are reaping. Well, the believer who is walking with the Lord is not involved in those things and is not reaping those consequences. And the same thing with alcoholism or drug abuse. If a believer is walking in fellowship with God, they're not experiencing those things. In the immediate context here, people were actually getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. That's pretty bad.
Right. I mean, if that's not the right attitude you should have at the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, and we need to keep in mind that in the early church, there were rich people and poor people. And by rich people, I mean people like us today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the poor people were actually slaves. Upwards of 50% maybe in some of the churches were literally slaves. And they would basically work for other people, maybe even the slave owners within the same church. We find, for example, in the New Testament epistles, instructions about how the slaves were to treat their masters and how the masters were to treat their slaves. And in some cases, those were the same people within the church. There would be slave owners. And so in the church of Corinth, some of these people that were not getting anything to eat were probably slaves, and some of the ones that were getting drunk were the slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be their own slaves in the same church, and yet they're not feeding them, they're not giving them food at this, because they're not thinking, well, this isn't a context for them to get food. They obviously feed their servants or their slaves, but they weren't at this meal. Or if they were, they were just getting something meager.
Or maybe they get a different meal for themselves and, you know, gave them the second class food.
Yeah, it's like Titanic, right? You got the people in steerage.
Right.
Then you got the first class people. Well, anyway, it's a really good question, Joshua, and I think we need to write something on this because I think it's an important question. In any case, we know that believers will not be condemned, and there's nothing we need to go through to avoid eternal condemnation. We don't need to undergo his discipline in order to avoid eternal condemnation. I would see the condemnation here as simply judgment on the world that's not just unbelieving, but that's in rebellion against God.
Yeah, Jesus promises an everlasting life that you can never be lost when you believe in him for it. So passages like this don't contradict the clear teachings of Jesus over and over again that you have everlasting life that can never be lost.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. And remember, Joshua, keep grace
in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, A Golden Chain, Romans 8:28. Find out more, join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.